And is anybody hot? Is it hot? Is it warm in here a little bit? How many are just right? Oh, wow. Okay. My wife said, don't take your coat off, but I'll probably end up taking my coat off because I'm burning up, man. Which is weird because I just came up from Arizona, so usually I'd be freezing. So, all right. Anyway, let's see. Where are we going tonight? Go to, let me get my thoughts together. Genesis chapter 3 and 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Genesis 3 and 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And just kind of sit back and we're going to cover some scripture tonight, going over some stuff. And just kind of go with it and we'll see how it goes. 2 Corinthians 11 is where we'll start, and then we'll go to Genesis 3. I hope you had a good day today, and you seem a little subdued, a little bit, maybe getting a little weary. But no, praise God. Amen. We'll be covering some scriptures tonight, Lord willing. But 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll start in verse 1, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. The Bible says, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted through the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Paul says, I'm afraid that if somebody came and preached another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit, gave another spirit, he said, I'm afraid you might put up with it for a while. And that's what he does not want them to do. But in verse 3, I want you to notice something. He says, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through a subtlety. And I'd like you to notice the word beguiled. Beguiled. And that's what I want to preach on tonight, is the subject of beguiled. Since Eve is mentioned here, go to Genesis 3 and we'll read it. There is so much in Genesis 3. There's just the first chapters of Genesis are rich with lessons for everyday life. It's amazing. But Genesis 3, verse 1, the Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Let me stop right there. Subtle. What is subtle? I'll tell you what subtle is. Subtle is a hunter in camouflage out there in the woods. He's subtle. He wants to be so subtle that the deers don't see him. The deers, is it? Deer, that's plural. Anyway, the biggest buck in the forest doesn't see him. You know, but what is he trying to do? He's trying to be subtle. A subtle is something that's very difficult to discern. It blends in. It's very almost behind the scenes, but it's not. It's right there. But until you recognize it, you're not going to see it. Warfare, don't they try to be subtle? Don't they try to camouflage? Don't they try to blend in so the enemy doesn't see them? That's being subtle. That's what that is. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now the Lord didn't say, neither shall you touch it. She adds to the word of God. And the other problem she has is she's talking to the devil. And you don't want to do that. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. The serpent just called God a liar. He just called him a liar. He said, you're not going to die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree, that it was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit. She's beguiled. When you're beguiled, you think you're doing right, and you're not doing right. And she was beguiled, and desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now he knew exactly what he was doing. We know that from Scripture. The woman was deceived of being in transgression, but the man was not deceived. And he's Jesus Christ, the second Adam. Adam is a type of Jesus Christ. Gave his life so for his bride, so he could be with his bride, that sort of thing. But he was beguiled. She thought she was doing right. She thought she was going to help her husband. And she wasn't doing right. And I want to preach on the subject of beguiled. Let's bow our heads for a prayer. Father, God, we know that you're the truth. You're the light. God, there's no spot. There's no wrinkle. There's no blemish in thee. God, you're altogether lovely. You're perfect and you are the light. There's no darkness in thee. And Father, we know that this book that we just read from is the truth. There's nothing wrong. There's no unfortunate rendering that this is exactly how you want us to have it. It is your holy words. God, I pray that you'd bless the message. I pray, God, that you'd help us to see from the Scriptures. Give us light, give us direction, and show us the traps and errors that we'd not go there. God, I pray you bless the message tonight and preach and minister. God, I am nothing. I am but flesh. God, they don't need to hear from me. We need you tonight, Lord. And I pray, God, that you'd please bless this message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Wouldn't it be sad, I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but wouldn't it be sad to think you were serving God? You just think about this. To think you're serving God, to think you're working, you're laboring, you're sacrificing. And to think you're serving Jesus Christ and pleasing God only to get to heaven or get to the judgment and realize that you were serving the devil. Do you ever think about that? There's going to be a lot of people like that. You say, like who? Well, for one, the translators of the new versions of the Bible. They say, oh, we're going to make a better translation, all that stuff. Listen, it's not the Spirit of God that gives the title of Jesus Christ to Lucifer in Isaiah 14. That's not the Spirit of God in an NIV that led them to do that. But they thought they were doing right. They thought they were going to help. They thought they were doing good. They thought they were pleasing God. And they weren't. Frank Logston was he was on the translation committee for the NASV. The NASV came out, New American Standard. And then he realized that the King James Bible is the Word of God. And he was scared to death. He says, there's some tapes or something. I don't know if you've heard those or not. But he's just like, I was wrong. Please forgive me. And repents of all the work that he did. Realizing he'd been serving the devil. He wasn't serving God. Wouldn't that be bad? Wouldn't it be sad to get before God, and if you're saved, you're going to heaven? All right? But thought you served Him, you didn't. And you were serving the devil. Wouldn't it be sad to stand before God thinking that you were doing right, thinking you were saved, and end up going to hell? Go to Matthew 7. Look at Matthew chapter 7. You know what? Many people are going to be just like that. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Terry Lee, could I get one of those waters? Matthew chapter 7. Oh, this isn't a game, man. This ain't a game. And there's going to be many people stand before God and they think that they have served the Lord Jesus Christ. They think they're saved and they're in for a very rude awakening. Look at this thing in Matthew 7. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? I mean, they're going to stand there and he's going to say, you're not mine. Say, but Lord, I did this. And but Lord, I did that. And but Lord, I did this. They believe they're his. They believe they're saved. And they thought they were serving him. Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Can you imagine that? They think they're saved, stand before God. Can you imagine the scream? Can you imagine the surprise, the anguish? No! No! And off into hell. And they thought they were serving. It wasn't that they thought they were saved. They thought they were serving him. They were beguiled. They were beguiled. George Parker lived 1870 to 1936. He made his living, he was in New York City, and he made his living by selling famous landmarks around New York City. He would sell Grant's tomb. Oftentimes he sold the Statue of Liberty. He sold the Brooklyn Bridge. That's where that term comes, you know. Well, yeah, I'll sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. He was a con artist, and he would find his mark. That's what they called him. And he had this official looking document that stated that he owned the Brooklyn Bridge. And he'd find his mark and he'd go up and say, look, I inherited this, or I forget how he would do it. And he would convince these people that if they would just give him, I don't know how much money, that they would own it, they'd be able to make their money back by erecting toll booths across the Brooklyn Bridge, and they'd make their money back in no time, but he had to go, his health wasn't good, whatever. I don't know what he told them, you know. And they would do it, and that's how he made his living. And more than once, the New York City Police Department had to remove somebody from the Brooklyn Bridge because they were starting to build toll booths because they believed they now owned that bridge. And that guy made his living that way. He was a con artist, and the people got beguiled. They got swindled. They got beguiled. And you take in the Bible, there's some instances, you don't have to turn there. Joshua got beguiled by the Gibeonites. And they came along with old clothes, you might remember that, and the moldy bread, and their shoes were worn out. And they said, oh, we've come from a long distance. And they hadn't, they were just right next door. And he didn't ask God, he didn't pray about it, he made a covenant with them, and then realized that they were his enemies, and he would have had to wipe them out, but he'd made a vow before God, and he says to them, why have you beguiled us? He thought he was doing right, and he wasn't doing right. It really would be sad to stand before God thinking that you had done right, and you hadn't done right. Saved or lost. Now I'm going to tell you something, this is all right. This is all right. That book is all right. And this book right here is the final authority. Amen? This book, not me, not a Baptist, none of that. That book right there that I'm holding in my hands is the Word of God, and that you're reading as well. That is the final authority, and this is right. And that Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. That includes me. So as I preach tonight, you're not to take my word for it. You're to go by what this book says. And this book, I mean, what does the book say? It's amazing how people don't ask that. They say, you know, what's the book say? They try to think, you know, but what's the book say? You say, what do you mean, what's the book say? Well, what's the book say about itself? I mean, it says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I mean, you've got to have, if there's a God that created this, it's logical to believe He would want to communicate with His creation. That's logic. And it's logical to believe He would use words. That's a communication that He's put in us, and He uses words, and these are His words. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I want you, and I know you guys know this, but it's that book. It's what the book says. And you say, well, some people say it says this, some people say it says that. Yes, there will be differences of belief and opinion about what the book teaches or not, but if it's King James Bible, the differences are not vast per se. You got people and they may differ, but you get in that book and you pray, the differences are not that great. When it comes to salvation, when it comes to heaven, when it comes to hell, when it comes to the main things, all that stuff, there's going to be an agreement right down there. But you take that book is the final authority. And I just want to cover some things tonight and just kind of give you an idea. Maybe you'll start asking, well, what's the book say? You know what I realized in the last few years? That book's got the answer to every question you have. You say, well, what about that book? It may not be an exact direct answer, but it's got the answer. The answer is there. If you'll consult the Word of God, it's there. Whatever your question is tonight, now you may ask a question, and it might take a year. It might take some time, but the answer is there. I have absolutely no doubt about that. That Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And this book is the final authority. And as I travel around and go to various churches, there's subjects that are hot topics, you might say. And they're discussed a lot. And with my wife being allergic to milk and that sort of thing, you know, people say, well, what can we fix and how do we fix it, you know, and so you don't get sick and stuff, and we really appreciate that. And one of the subjects that is discussed a lot is food. Food is a very common subject amongst people. And it's not just Christians, because you got the Food Network. You have a channel, well, there's probably more than that now, I don't know. But channels on TV, and all it is food. It's like the guy comes home, says, honey, what'd you do today? She said, oh, I was watching the Food Network, and they were cooking all this stuff, you know, and there were these great recipes. He said, great, what's for dinner? She said, frozen pizza. You know, something wrong there. But, you take food, and it's getting to the point where, and I've been around it, where in certain circles, the way you eat makes you more spiritual than others. Now, I'm not talking about the amount. You can obviously, I know, just pray for me. Nikki D, 4 days in a row to get here doesn't help, and, you know, it's just on the road and all that stuff. But, you know, so that is, gluttony is a sin, all right? I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about people saying the way you eat, and you got to eat this way. And if you do this, I've been around people that say, oh, you're backslidden, you're not right with God if you're eating fast food. I was like, what? Are you kidding? I mean, they just, all this stuff. Well, if you're eating that, you got to eat this way. And of course, if you go to the extreme, then you got the vegans, you know. Not eating meat and all that stuff. And, well, you got to stay away from beef. And you got to eat this way. You got to eat that way. And, oh, you're eating that. Oh, you shouldn't eat that. Oh, that'll kill you. I just think, really? You say, why? To depart and to be with Christ is far better. I mean, if there's something that I can eat, and I'm not talking about being a glutton, but if there's something I can eat and it's not a sin and it'll get me to heaven quicker, then why not eat it? Some of you look at me like, I've never looked at it like that. Yeah, because this world's your home. This world ain't my home, man. I want to get out of here. Well, I do. But they get talking, you know, food, 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 all this food. Y'all, oh, what about this? What about that? You got to eat this way, that's right. Now, I'm going to tell you, my attitude towards food is in Romans 14. Go to Romans 14. I mean, what's the book say? How much of that Bible is spent talking about food? It isn't much. A lot of the Bible's talking about righteousness and godliness and doing right and serving Jesus Christ, be what He wants you to be, all that stuff. There's not much. But the percentage of conversation nowadays in churches on food is just, it's very, very common. Very common. And look at Romans 14. And that doesn't mean you can't talk about food around me, all right? People say, oh, I can't talk about that now, you know. So don't worry about it, you know. But I'm talking about people that claim that you're more spiritual if you eat a certain way or if you eat certain things and don't eat certain things. And look at Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Did you get that? The kingdom of God. Is that what the book says? That's what the book says. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness. Let's talk about righteousness. And peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So why not talk about those? It's just food, 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 all this stuff, you know. And food. It's a hot subject, a hot topic. So let me ask you some questions tonight. What was the first thing somebody ate in the Bible? Anybody know? Just guess. It's a pretty easy question. Really. That's right. Tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it was fruit, right? First thing eaten, was it an apple? Was it grapes? I don't know. I don't care. But it was fruit. All right? We'll go there. It was fruit. And what happened? Well, there was a curse. So they were eating fruit, and there was a curse. Oh, you don't believe in eating fruit? Would you just relax? It's okay. All I'm saying is, what's the book say? That's what's the book say? What's the second thing eaten in the Bible? That's eaten. Well, the second thing eaten in the Bible, Noah drinks wine and gets drunk, but it was fruit juice. And I give him a little leeway, but there'd never been anything ferment before like that, you know, something. But nevertheless, the second thing eaten or consumed in the Bible was fruit juice. And what happened? There was a curse. Well, that's not good, you know. I mean, it's just, you know, two strikes right there. And, you know, but what's the Bible say about food? Let me ask you something. What's the first thing God ate in the Bible? Anybody care to guess? Anybody think about it? The first thing God ate in the Bible. All right, let's turn there. Go to Genesis 18. The first thing God ate. You know, teachers will be teaching the Word of God, and they'll say, well, the law first mentioned is very important. Okay, I'll go with that. Genesis 18, this is the first thing that God ate in the Bible. It would be very instructive. By the way, I'm just going to have fun tonight, all right? Did you know, in the Word of God, God, including Jesus Christ in the New Testament, never once in the Bible ate a vegetable? Do you know that? Never did, never once. Now, some of you kids are going, good. And the mothers are going, don't say that. Now, look at Genesis 18. The Lord comes to Abraham. And look at verse 3. And said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort to your hearts. After that you shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal kneaded and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd. I gotta bring that out. It was not a flock, it was a herd. And fetched a calf, tender and good. That's what the Bible says. All right? Tender and good. All right. And gave it unto the young men, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter, and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. So the first thing God eats in the Bible is milk, butter, bread, and beef. That's the first thing he eats. It's milk. Let's see, there's bread and butter and beef. You know, it could have been a hamburger. That's right, a Butterburger. You know, that's Culver's, you know. But that's the first thing God eats in the Bible is beef. First thing, as technically it was veal. Oh, the poor little calf. Oh, the poor little calf, you know. But it was beef. That's very instructive. Very is. Because he never does eat a vegetable. He never does. And you take, first thing he eats is beef. Isaac blesses Jacob after he eats meat over there. And Esau, he loses his birthright after a bowl of lentils. Is that what the book says? That's what the book says. I mean, you get going on down there. It's amazing. When you start going through, well, what's the Bible say? What's the Bible say? Pretty soon you start to realize, well, that's not like anything the world's teaching. I mean, Esau, yeah, he loses his birthright over a bowl of lentils, no meat in it. And you take the herbs of Egypt and say, well, you know, one who is weak eateth herbs. You know, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. All right, go to two places. Go back to Romans 14 and go to Exodus chapter 9. And we'll look at Romans 14. Did you know that herbs in the Bible are not the herbs of today? You say, how do you know that? Well, I'll show you. But the thing is, what's the book say? You say, why are you going into all this? Because there's a lot of false doctrine out there. There's a lot of mess going on, and I want to be right according to this book. Not to say, see there, I'm right and you're wrong. No, I want to be right before God, and I want to know what that book says. And look at Romans 14, look at verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs. Another who is weak eateth herbs. Well, how many people do you know sit down to a bowl of basil? I'm going to have a bowl of basil. I'm going to have a bowl of rosemary. You know, it's like, what? You know, they say, well, those are the herbs. Not in the Bible. Not in the Bible. Go to Exodus 9. I mean, what's the book say? I mean, we're just covering food. We're just beginning. But, I mean, you get going about what that book says. It's amazing, man. It's amazing what that book says. And I'm just going to, like, skip a stone over a lake tonight and just touch on a few things. But, listen, if we're Bible believers, then this book is our authority. And we need to ask, Lord, what do you say about this? What do you say about that? And look at, I got to get there, Exodus 9. Now, these are the plagues of Egypt. And look at Exodus 9, verse 22. Exodus 9, 22. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. Look at verse 31. And the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear and the flax was bold. You take, there's the herbs of the field. There's another place, I forget where it is and I don't have it marked right now, but corn and beans, those things, those are considered herbs in the Bible, whose seed is in itself. And the herbs of the Bible are food. That's Romans 14. Him that is weak, one who is weak, eateth herbs. You're going to be vegetarian, and that sort of thing. But the herbs of today, the seasonings and that sort of thing, those would be considered spices in the Bible. That's that queen of Ethiopia or. Comes Sheba, Queen Sheba comes and brings the spices and that sort of thing. That would fall into that category. But in the Bible, herbs, they're food. All right? But you take, what's the greatest meal in the Bible? Anybody remember? I mean, the one that is lifted above all others. For us, that's true. But this would be, in a sense, a type of physical one, and that's the Passover. When they're getting ready to leave Egypt, and what was it? It was meat. It was lamb. And it wasn't a bunch of, you know, eat your salad, you don't eat your veggies. No, it was lamb. And they're one of the greatest meals in all the Bible is meat. And that's what it is. I mean, what's the Bible say? I mean, when Jews are out in the wilderness and they're backslidden. What do they say? We remember the leeks and the garlics and the onions of Egypt. Remember that? And you take, it's food. It's food. Every now and then a doctor will tell a lady, he'll say, you need to eat some beef. Why? She needs some iron. Needs some iron. You take, when David wants to bless Israel, the Bible says he gave him a good piece of flesh and a loaf of bread and a bottle of wine. That's what the book says. And it said a good piece of flesh. Genesis 18 had a calf, tender and good. You say, why do you go over that? Because nowadays, someone says, well, I'm going to start eating healthy. And the first thing they get rid of is beef. Oh, you know, watch out for the beef. Oh, no, beef's bad. It isn't in the Bible. You better go by the book. You better not go by all this junk that's going on. You better go by what that book says. Now, I know there's moderation, all that sort of thing. But in the Word of God, beef is not bad. Listen, when the prodigal son comes home, what do? They kill the fatted calf and they have a party over and over and over. In the Word of God, beef is mentioned as a good thing. And over in America and the world, beef is frowned upon. Oh, you don't want to eat beef? Look out for beef. Oh, no. Go to chicken. And if you're really spiritual, you'll go to fish. Or if you're really spiritual, you won't eat meat. Oh, that's just so Neanderthal. Oh, that's just, oh, caveman. Oh, just, yeah, it's like, you're not right with God, man. Amen, amen, amen. You take that sort of thing. I mean, beef is good. You know what that Bible says? That Bible says every creature of God is good. And nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving and prayer. And the context of those verses is food. I mean, what about there in the book of Acts? And that sheet let down before Peter. And there's all those animals. And God tells Peter, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And, of course, the Lord's showing him a revelation of what happened at the cross and things have been cleansed. I understand that. But God is telling a man to eat those animals. That's what he's telling him. You better go by what that book says. Don't feel guilty. Oh, the poor animals. And if we just all went vegetarian, we'd have more land and we wouldn't have to worry about the land. And there's so many cows in the world and they're polluting the air and all that junk. It's just, what is that? That's just stuff full of the devil, man. It's contrary to this book. And if you're not careful, you're going to get wrapped up in it. And pretty soon you're going to think you're not right with God if you eat beef or if you've eaten too much or you might die tomorrow and all that stuff. You need to quit worrying about that stuff. You better go by what that book says. And that book over and over, they're eating animals, eating animals, eating animals, eating animals. Now he said don't eat the blood. Make sure the blood's drained. Make sure it's out of there. But over and over it's animals, animals, and animals. And God never ate a vegetable. I mean, you know, if you want to be like God, Lord, help us to love what you love and hate what you hate, then you're not going to eat any vegetables. I know you're just looking at me, but that, listen, folks, you get in that book, that thing is so contrary to the world, but it'll show you what's right. It'll show. I'll tell you one thing, when we're on the road and we're tired, and we've been driving and driving and going, you can't slow down, you got to keep going, I'll tell you what, we don't want fish, and we don't want chicken. We want a steak, and that steak will give us strength to go on. That we experienced that, I mean, more than once. It's like, I need a steak. I got to get a steak, and it'll help me. It'll give me strength to get on down the road and do the work that I got to do. And you take, that's what the book says. You better go by what this book says. I mean, what's this Bible say about your entertainment? I mean, the things that you're watching, the things that you're listening to, and the things that you're playing. I mean, what's this book say about it? You better go by what this book says. You better not go by what your flesh feels. Listen, if you want God to work in your life, if you want God to be free to move, if you want God to do right, and folks, we can't hold a candle to the saints of old. I mean, before there was television, before there was computer, before all this junk, man, and they're trying to live godly in the 1600s, 1700s, all that stuff. I mean, God would move. There are stories, you read about the stories of old, and the churches praying, and things going on. You know why? They were clean. And God's working. If you want God to work in your life, you better line yourself up as much as possible with what that book says. And get in line with that book. And what's that Bible say about your music and all that stuff? What's the Bible say about your entertainment and things? Go to Ephesians 5. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Look at Ephesians 5. And look at verse 18, Ephesians 5:18. The Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." How? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You take one of the ways you can be filled with the Spirit of God is by singing hymns. It's a blessing to come in here and sing the hymns. You say, why do you sing the hymns before the preaching? To clear the mind, to get it in tune with God, to forget about the world and your day, and get thinking, and to get you and I and everybody filled with the Spirit of God in the right mindset so God can work. That's what that is. And there's been times, man, I've been low. And it's like, I need to sing a song. And I mean, my flesh was running me saying, I don't want to sing a song. I don't care. You ain't going to sing a song. And I didn't. And I needed to. And there's been other times I was low. And I just start singing, just barely getting the words out. And after about a couple minutes, I can sing it a little bit louder. And just singing, I get thinking about the words. And boy, that thing will minister. It'll minister and it'll pick you up. And it'll help you. You get filled with the Spirit of God more and get your thoughts straightened out, and it helps you go on. But what's the Lord, what's that book say about your entertainment, the music? I mean, the modern contemporary Christian junk, it sounds just like the world. I mean, the drums and electric guitars and all that stuff, it sounds just like the world. And you know, there's times I'll go in a place and I don't even know it's Christian until after about 10 minutes and I'll hear a word and I'll go, I think that's Christian. You think that's Christian, hon? I don't know. Doesn't sound like it. Well, they got the words. Yeah, but the music isn't. I mean, you want something that's going to draw you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. You take the movies and things nowadays. I mean, it's just, you better be careful of what you're listening to and what you're watching. And it's all around. Now listen, I've been thinking, as a preacher, I'm trying to think, Lord, how do I see things in this age? Now listen, there's going to be Facebook, there's television, there's internet, there's all the stuff. It's out there. And so to preach against it, I mean, I'm against that stuff. Although I use the internet, so I'm a hypocrite. But I'm using it for work and that sort of thing. But here's the deal. You got to choose how far you go on the internet, or how far you go on that television, or that Facebook, or whatever it is. You've got, listen, you're sitting there. That Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God's watching you. God's with you. I've been praying. I keep forgetting. But by the grace of God, I want to get into the habit, before I turn that computer on, to bow my head and say, oh God, help me to just do what I need to do. Help me to be clean and just to do right. Because one click, it'd be a mess. I mean, Fox News is bad enough. I mean, Fox News is ungodly. I mean, I run Apple. I got an Apple computer. And there's probably the same thing for a PC. But I got an app, and I can push a button, and when I do, all images on the screen are gone. It's gone, man. And it's just, and you take Fox News, generally you can read the headlines. If you scroll down, there's some articles in the bottom, and they call it soft porn. That's the industry term for it. And they'll have articles in there about cars and stuff, and then other junk, and pictures. And I hit that thing, boom, and the images are gone. Because sometimes they'll have a scientific study or something like that, and I want to see it. And I hit that thing, image is gone, and I'm like, okay, I'm safe, and I can go down there. That's just Fox News, man. It's just so much junk and stuff. That Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before my eye. And those e-games, you young boys, I mean, the girls, they're not tempted to play the Call of Duty and Halo and Medal of Honor and World of Warcraft and all that. The girls, they're not. The girls, you young ladies, you're going to be tempted. Harry Potter, the satanic romances, Twilight, stuff like that. That stuff pulls the girls in. There's a draw there. But you take the boys, that doesn't draw the boys. It's those games. And it's to shoot them up and kill them, you know, and they put the headphones on, and their friend, their buddy that lives in another house 10 miles away, he's got the headphones on, and they're talking to each other, and they're playing the game. And they're blowing people away and shooting and all that stuff. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Psalms. What's the Bible say? What's the Bible say? Look at Psalms chapter 11. What's the Bible say? What's the Bible say about your entertainment? What's the Bible say about what you're watching? Very careful. Very careful. What's the book say? Look at Psalms 11 and look at verse 5. Psalms 11 and verse 5. The Bible says, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked, now watch it, and him that loveth violence, My. His soul hateth. Now, if you're saved, the Lord loves you. But you may be doing things that God hates. And He hates it. And in your daily walk, He may hate the way you're living. Amen, amen. The wicked, watch it, and him that loveth violence. Violence, violence. Those games, those young men, they get nothing, and it's violence, 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 violence. And it grieves the Spirit of God. It quenches the Spirit of God. And it's not just young men that's playing those things. It's older men. And it's just violence, violence, violence. Go to Genesis 6. We're in the last days, folks. You have got to be sober. You have got to go by this book and the warnings that are in this book. Look at Genesis 6. Genesis 6. Where is it? Look at verse 11. Genesis 6:11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. See that thing? Look at verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And there's ungodly creatures and fallen angels or whatever down here on this earth. And when they get here, it's violence, 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 violence. You take the movies of this age are violence, violence, violence. It's sex and violence and sex and violence. And it grieves God. It quenches the Spirit of God in your life. And you wonder, oh God, where are you? God, why aren't you answering in prayer? And he's been grieved and he's been quenched. You better consult this book. There's a need in God's people to strive for holiness. I graduated from Pensacola Bible Institute and I'm seeing a bad effect from the graduates there, because they're dirty. They're living dirty. They've got an intellectual knowledge. They've got an intellectual pursuit of the knowledge of the Word of God, but they failed to apply it into their heart and to live godly and right. And there's a dirtiness that's going out amongst Bible believers, and it's stealing their power. It's stealing their victory. It's not good. You want revival? That it's getting that junk out. It's going by what that book says. It's getting in there and, oh God, if that's what it says, then I'm not going to do it. God, help me line up with this. This right here. This is right. The book's right. I'll tell you, man, I don't know if you saw it. I watched it, that movie Courageous. As movies go, all right. But I had a problem with it. Number one, a lot of these modern movies, the music. It's heavy metal. It's Christian. Well, it's not Christian, but in the worldly term, it's Christian, but it's heavy metal. Death metal. But the problem I have with Courageous is here's these guys, and they're crying about every 5 minutes in the movie. But they're courageous. How many of you saw the movie? Now, please, I'm not going to get on you. You know, I saw it. I watched it. All right. But the thing that bothered me, the title of the movie is Courageous. And in the movie, the plot was, I mean, at that one point in that church service, they're all standing up and they're making that oath or whatever it is. And basically they say in this, I'm going to be courageous. I'm going to be a father. Yes, sir. I'm going to be a father. I thought, whoa, okay, if that's courageous. But I thought John Paul Jones was courageous. You know, I've not yet begun to fight. You know, I thought George Washington was pretty courageous. I mean, there's a lot of people. I thought Patrick Henry was courageous when he said, give me liberty or give me death. There's a lot of men that I can look to as an inspiration for being courageous. And it was a far cry greater than, I'm going to be a father. I thought, we're at the end, man. This is bad. This is really bad, man. I'll tell you what. Well, you better go by that book. You better go by that book. It's getting late. I do that every time. I'm sorry. I don't mean to keep saying that. But I'll tell you, we're in a mess, folks. I want to finish right. I want to please Jesus Christ. And I know this book's right. And I don't want to be beguiled. I don't want to be thinking I'm doing right when in actuality I'm serving the devil. Do you? I don't. Listen. What's that book say about your medicine? You say, well, I don't know. You better consult this book. There's all kinds of junk going on nowadays. I don't have time to get into all that stuff. And it doesn't matter if it's Western or Eastern. They're integrating the two and bringing them together. You got to pray your way through any kind of treatment that you have. You better make sure that God's leading you, and He's leading you to the doctor God wants you to go to, and the operation that God wants you to have or whatever. You better pray your way through and consult this book. Because listen, America's gotten away from that book, and the Eastern religions are flooding America, and it's coming into the churches, and it's just wreaking havoc in the churches. Right down the road. I'll warn you, there's an acupuncturist right down the road. Have you studied acupuncture? You know what they're doing? That stuff's yin and yang. That's yin chi and yang chi. That's shamanism. It has no, but it's contrary to that book. The energy of the meridians down there is an unclean spirit. And if the unclean spirit doesn't show up in the form of chi, then they say acupuncture does not work. That stuff's against God. That yin and yang, you know that circle with the black and the white and the yes and that sort of thing? You know what that is? That's yin and yang. And in Taoism, they claim yin and yang created the universe. Those are false gods. And God forbid that a Christian would use false gods to try to give him good health. And that's what's going on. Now, I don't have time to get into all of it. I got a book out there called Defiled, and I cover acupuncture, yoga, homeopathy, on through, even cover Wicca and stuff like that, and I extensively documented. I go into textbooks, I go into encyclopedias, and on and on and on. But what's this book say about your medicine? Let's just briefly go to Leviticus 17. Look at Leviticus 17. We got messed up in it. It defiled us. It messed us up. Thank God, by the grace of God, we got out. We got messed up in it because Christians that we looked up to recommended it. Now, you better be careful. How many of you ever heard this? Well, you know your body runs on electricity. How many of you have heard that? A few of you. Your body runs on electricity. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. You say, you're not a doctor. No, but I got the book. I got the book. This book, we say, is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. And then when you start applying it, well, I don't know about that. You just don't want to accept it. Look at what it says. Look at Leviticus 17. Look at verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. It did not say the life of the flesh is in the electricity. It's the blood. Do you know that God works through blood? If you want to clean your body, get the blood circulating. In other words, exercise. And that blood gets circulating, and it cleans your body. And God works through blood. God saved your soul through blood. God shed His blood. God deals with blood. What's Satan work through? Energy. I beheld Satan as lightning. Don't you know that Satan appeared as an angel of light? That thing. And what Satan wanted to do? He wanted to ascend. He wanted to go above. What's he want? He wants power. What is he called? The prince of the power of the air. You know, the air's got power in it. That's what the Bible says. And the prince, listen, is Jesus Christ the prince of peace? Then peace begins with Jesus Christ. But the power of the air, it begins with Satan. So what do? What are they doing? They're getting power out of the air. That's Qigong. That stuff's occultic. That stuff's metaphysical. That stuff is contrary to that book right there. Take your Bibles, go to the book of James. And I'm just skimming. I'm just skipping some things, and we got to go. But look at James. You better go by that book. They say, oh, the vital force. In Taoism, they say when yin and yang separate, you die. That's what they believe. When yin and yang separate from your body, you're dead. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the book says. The book says something else. And I'll go by the book. Look at what it says in James 2. You take in homeopathy, they got the vital force. And the vital force is responsible for everything. And if the vital force leaves your body, then your body's dead. That's not what the book says. By the way, vital force and yin and yang and chi and prana and all that stuff, they say it's an energy, it's a power that's in and around everything. What is it? It's pantheism. Pantheism is God is all and in all and through all. That's pantheism. All these energetic medicines and stuff are pantheistic, vitalistic medicines, and they're contrary to that book and they're contrary to your God. Now you better go by this book. Look at Genesis 2 and look at verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead. James 2:26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, then the life of the flesh is in the blood, but your body runs on spirit. Right? Are you with me? Go to Genesis 2. Look at Genesis 2. You better go by this book, this energetic medicine and all that junk. It'll defile you and it'll grieve the Spirit of God. And you won't know what's going on. You won't know why. And if you're messing with that stuff, it's going to hinder God from working in the church. And everything just starts to slow down. And then you start going, well, it's Laodicea. God's still able to answer prayer. God's still able to work. God's still able to save souls. God's still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. But we've got to be clean. Look at Genesis 2 and look at verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. That's his body. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. There's the spirit. And man became a living soul. That thing, that body, soul, and spirit. You know where your spirit is? It's in your nostrils. You know what? If you can't, you're dead. That's what James says. I mean, it's a nurse right here. They've got to breathe, don't they? If they don't breathe, they're done. It's over. And you take that thing. That's Bible. But this stuff going on nowadays, it's not right. It's not right. Get you messed up in things, man. And before you know it, God's grieved. You're beguiled. And I don't have time. I know it's late. This is a burden on my heart because I'm watching churches being destroyed. Destroyed. And they think I'm nuts. And I give them scripture. They have no scripture to come back. Well, they won't talk to me. And they're just going down. It's the Eastern religions are coming in like mad. You better get in this book. You better get in this book. It's messing with God's people. They're sheep. They're not consulting the Word of God. And they're trying things and doing things. And it's messing them up. I got some others. I don't have time to go over it. But here's what happens. If you don't go by the book, and you're confronted with something, you'll see it. Eve was confronted with the tree. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But you know what? Eve didn't see any evil. She didn't see any evil. It was, well, it looked good. It's good for food. It made me wise. All she saw was the positive. She didn't see any negative. And so she took. And this stuff nowadays, whether it's the new versions, oh, well, they can read it a lot more easy, and it's so much better. Or a vegan, you know, it's just cheaper, and we're not using up so much land. Or, you know, it's just these movies and things, and I can bring my buddies over, and I'll try to witness to them. Or this medicine, I've got a new ministry, and I'm helping people. Whatever it is, you think, oh, it's so wonderful. You're beguiled. It's contrary to this book. And you only see the positive. And as you only see the positive, then you start working. And if you think you're doing right, you're going to work that much harder. You're going to strive that much more. You're going to labor. Lord, I'm doing this for you. I'm just working for you, Lord. I love you so much, and I'm just doing this for you. And the Lord's not in it. He's grieved because it's not according to that book right there. And there's going to be many people, many, get before God. Lord, so good to see you. Lord, I've done many wonderful works in your name, and I prophesied, and I've done all. No, Lord, I did them in your name. I prophesied, and I did a lot of wonderful. What do you mean, never? I thought I knew you. You don't know me. My name's not in the book of life. What do you mean? But Lord, I served you. I worked for you. Lord, no, I don't want to go to hell. No. Deceived. Beguiled. Brothers and sisters, not a game. That book's right. And we need to line up with that book. Let's pray. Father, I pray you bless the message. Lord, help us. God, as the old song says, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it prone to leave the God I love. Father, help us tonight. Lord, would you deal with us? Convict us where we're wrong. God, if there's anybody here tonight who's lost and on their way to hell, I pray tonight they'd be born again. I pray tonight they'd get saved and know, according to the Bible, that they're going to heaven when they die. God, for your people, help us. Lord, I'm not perfect. I'm not the authority. Your word is. God, I pray if there's something that has been hit tonight, or maybe something that I haven't even touched, but Spirit of God's dealing with somebody tonight, I pray they'd not fight you. I pray they'd surrender. I pray they'd submit. I pray they'd say, Lord, here am I. Help me. I'm sorry. Please, God, forgive me and help me not do it anymore. Father, would you please bless, convict, and deal with us. Father, touch hearts, I pray. Now the heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask you tonight, if you're here and you say, Preacher, if I died tonight, I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. And I want you to know that I didn't really preach a salvation message. Salvation is not being a Baptist. Salvation is coming to Jesus Christ and admitting, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I pray that you'd forgive me of my sins. Would you please come into my heart? Would you please save me? Be my Savior. Jesus Christ is your ticket to heaven. Not baptism, not this religion, but Jesus Christ. If there's anybody here tonight, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand and say, Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven. Is there anybody like that? All right, nobody. Christians, it's you and God. It's you, the Word of God, and God. Are you going to try? We'll never be perfect, I know that. But are you going to try and line up with the book? I want to try. I want to do my best. Father, I pray you bless the invitation. It's a very dirty age, very subtle age. God, Christians are getting trapped and snared and removed right and left. I could give a number of stories tonight. God, help us to repent. Help us to embrace the truth, the Word of God, to do right. Father, bless in the invitation, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.